Infendo Radio is on now.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. I'm your host, Holly Falmouth. Joining me tonight, we have Lewis Pugh.
Hello.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello, everybody.
Also, this is episode 336. I haven't been here in a while, so this is, scatterbrain day for me. Scatterbrain morning. It's another morning episode for me, so please ignore the tired voice as well. So today we're going to have a two-part structure for you. We're going to talk first about what we've been playing, and then we're going to have our feature, which is basically a prediction show about Nintendo in the year 2015, because it's looking like a pretty good 2015. But is it too good to be true? We shall see. So starting off with what we've been playing, Lewis, can you talk a little bit about what you've been playing?
Certainly. Well, I have a Smash update. I've not been playing much else, but I've been playing lots of Smash in both single player, going through the challenges of knocking all the different things, and as well as been playing it multiplayer. Unfortunately, I've not been able to have any sort of grand 8-player matches. They've basically been limited to quite intense 2-player scraps. So I'm looking forward to getting more people involved, but I'm also very impressed with just the the game engine in general. It's kind of met all my expectations and beyond. It does feel like it's going to be, you know, the game to stick to for years to come. And I've also just been having fun actually testing out some of the new characters. I was a bit more reserved on that on the 3DS. But I've been playing with some new characters, and I'm getting quite attached now to the villager. I'm getting quite good as him, which is quite cool.
Yeah, I'm
very fond of his bowling ball smash attack, which, you know, you can drop it off a ledge, and if you time it right, it's extremely effective. They just go flying if you get that timing done correctly.
So can it hit a character who's hanging on to the edge? I think that was in the revealed trailer for Villager, like someone who's even hanging on to the edge can be hit by the bowling ball, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't think I've quite done that, but it's also fun just being up on a higher ledge and just dropping
just raining bowling balls down to innocent people.
I mean, obviously there are other moves, but that is one of the more satisfying ones. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like the single player content in Brawl, I pretty much just stuck to the Subspace Emissary, just because it was such a big mode. And I don't think I really played around with much else which is in Brawl beyond the regular Smash stuff. And I've been actually having a lot of fun just going through all the different challenges in Smash or Wii U. And it makes you also experiment and, you know, go out of your comfort zone, you know, be this character on this mode and, you know, do obviously particularly well.
In a way, I don't really like that because it's like, it's too bite-sized somehow and too specific. Mm. It's like, play in solo mode with this character on Trophy Rush and get a combo of 50 or more, and it's like, okay, so I have to go through all the menus again to accomplish this, like, you know, thing that takes a couple of minutes at the most, and then I'm like, okay, on to the next challenge, and it just, it's too specific. I wish I could just kind of, like, I don't know, it's too specific. I don't want to have to go back to the challenges screen again and again and again and again just to accomplish these things. So, I don't know, that's not like the strongest point of the game for me, but that's just me.
One of the handy things I do like about the challenge mode is when you do, like, complete a challenge and the challenge board comes up showing you've completed it, you can then use it to see what the other challenges are. You don't have to then go back to the challenges menu. You can like go, okay, I'm going to do something, do the next one. What is that? Oh, I've got to do this. And then in theory, if you go off and do it, then the screen will pop up again and you can find out what the next one is. But now I've been enjoying that. And again, it's just given me a good excuse to play around with the different modes. Another set of modes I've been really enjoying are like the special orders.
I haven't tried that at all. Single time.
At first I just thought, nah, it's just one of those modes. But it's becoming one of the more favourite single player modes for me.
Okay, so which do you prefer, the master orders or do you prefer the crazy orders?
I think I prefer the crazy orders. I think I'm better at master orders.
Yeah.
But I prefer the idea for crazy orders. Which is just to really push yourself. And the other thing I didn't realise about crazy orders is I knew that you would have to defeat Crazy Hand at the end to get all your rewards. But what I didn't realise was the more damage you had accumulated, the more health you would have, because there's a HP match at the end.
Yeah, see, I didn't realise that at the end either, because I was like, oh, I've only got, 30%. Yeah. Do I risk it? So I was like, oh, I'll fight Crazy Hand, and I was like, oh, I see. Yeah, the more risk you take, the greater the reward.
Yeah, which adds this extra layer of, the risk onto it, because you're already trying to push how many, prizes you can get.
That's right.
Before you want to go, okay, I've got a big bulk here, I don't want to lose everything, I better go after the Crazy Hand. But you can also then think, if I, just do another match and I get some more damage but don't get knocked out, I'll have an even easier chance at Crazy Hand, because I have more health. Yeah. But obviously that can really screw you over, because if you get knocked out, then you lose your stuff anyway. So that's a fun mode.
I'll have to try that for sure. Mostly what I've been doing in Smash is actually playing with my amiibo. I really enjoy that. I'll put her, as in Samus, my amiibo, on my team, but Team Attack will be on, of course. That's my preferred way of playing. And, if she does something good, I'm all like, woo, go Samus! I root for her, literally, out loud. And, yeah, it's been really fun. If she does something bad, I'll be like, Samus! As if I'm really talking to my figure. I guess I'm crazy like that, but I'm a little Biltron in like that, with the talking for, in fact, his little amiibo figures in that.
I am looking forward to trying out the amiibo stuff, because I've still not experimented. I think that's still my Christmas plans. So that's a post-Christmas event for me.
Yeah, which is fine. Amiibo is something you can hold off on. I think the next one I will get will probably be Ike, actually, which I think he doesn't come out till February, but or maybe it was the 14th of December. I don't remember on Ike, but I just have been looking at his figure, and it looks really good, and that's kind of what I'm going for, is the good-looking ones without posts, So, as far as what I've been playing, I already have kind of covered Super Smash Bros. For Wii U a little bit. I have just playing a lot lately, though. First of all, there's Fire Emblem, the, one on Game Boy that was the first Fire Emblem game to come to the West, which came out in the U.S., as in North America, for the first time, I think this past Thursday, so you guys have had it for a while now, but we finally got it. I just hope that, all those games, the more Fire Emblem games we have on the Virtual Console, the better for me, because I loved Awakening, and I'm really enjoying the original. The original Western release, that is. It's hard for me to say. But anyway, so good game. Next one on my list here is Muramasa the Demon Blade, which I got kind of for my birthday. My parents gave me a gift card, and that's just one of the games that I got.
Oh, nice.
So, and this one I can't go without mentioning, of course, that Colin was the one who mentioned in our, Hidden Gems episode, Muramasa the Demon Blade, which is just a Wii game.
Yep.
It's been a lot of fun. I was looking at the instruction manual, and as I did, I thought, this looks like it's going to be a fun little side-scrolling fighting game. The combat actually looked really good. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's really good. I mean, as far as, the actual, it is kind of a platformer, but the platforming is not the strong point. It's the fighting system it is.
Yeah, just gloss over the platforming elements. They're, yes. They're certainly not the greatest asset, but no, the combat mechanics of the game are fantastic. I love how that game works. So.
I'm still kind of figuring out the ins and outs of the combat system, which is great. The visuals are also really, really great. I just feel like I'm being sucked into the game. They're very Japanese. In fact, the whole thing is very Japanese. Even the voice acting is Japanese. I mean, of course, you've got your subtitles in English, but even those, I mean, they're probably an exact translation of the Japanese, and sometimes there are, you know, little mistakes here and there in the subtitles. So it's very, very Japanese. If you like that type of thing, I think you'd really like this game. So, but Colin, do you have any other questions for me? I haven't. I mean, I'm probably close to 2 hours in it.
I was just going to say, you know, how are you finding the game so far? I mean, have you got as far as the point where you can see? I think there's quite a few swords you can unlock. It's like the main thing of the game. You unlock these swords as you go through the game. Isn't there a table or swords that you can see and it sort of shows you
which ones you have and which berries you can...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I haven't played Muramasa in ages. But I'll try and remember. Yeah, it's like a table of swords and it's... do you find that a bit daunting? Look at that and think, wow, I've got a lot of work to do.
I think I have looked at that. It's like one of the menu screens, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I think I looked at it briefly. A lot of the menu screens I have just looked at briefly because, I don't know, I'd rather spend a little more time in the game than look at menus. So when I play a game like this, I kind of gradually add menus, I guess, to my knowledge, go in there and look at them. So I'll go in and look at that and be sure I get that feeling of, what would it be, hopelessness. Like, I'll never get all these, but we'll see.
Oh, I was going to say... Which character are you playing as?
The female one, whose name, what is it?
Mamuji?
You probably don't remember either.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mama Himi or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, readers, or listeners, rather. But yeah, that's a really good game, and I definitely think it is a hidden gem. It is very good, and I feel like it's probably one that hasn't been experienced by a lot of people. And I know for a fact it's pretty cheap here in the United States, so if you're interested, go ahead and pick that one up. It's great. So I've also, of course, been playing Fantasy Life. There's just never an end to what you can do in that game, which is fun. I'm not even, like, I'm probably a fraction of the way through the storyline, so there's plenty for me to do in that game. Also, for those who are curious about my PlayStation Portable... experience.
Adventures.
I am well underway. I'm like over 7 hours into Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, so there's that one as well. Very good game. I feel like for some reason Birth by Sleep seems to have like one of the smoothest combat systems I've ever experienced in a Kingdom Hearts game, so kudos to it. And I like the change of pace with the different characters. Like, I was getting so sick of Sora. He's so infuriatingly cheery and optimistic that, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic as a person and pretty cheery, but he's just infuriating. So I really like the new characters here. But yeah, that's PlayStation stuff, so we won't linger on that. We will move on to our big feature, our prediction show for Nintendo's 2015. So the first thing that I have listed here, all of you probably are expecting one thing, and that's for us to talk about the Zelda for Wii U footage that we got, but we're saving that for last, of course. Best for last. So the first thing I have here is just kind of a list of some of Nintendo's games that are coming out in 2015. So let's just list them off one at a time, and we'll take turns, and then we'll talk about them. So it'll go me, Lewis, and then Colin. The first is Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, which is supposedly coming out in February 2015. So Lewis...
Yeah, then we have The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D coming in spring 2015.
And then we have the codename Steam. Very interesting. Spring 2015, allegedly.
And again, we have an alleged release date of just 2015 in general for Yoshi's Woolly World is the next on the list. So.
Then we have the indisputable Best of the Bunch, Splatoon, coming out in quarter 2 2015.
Yep, and then we have Mario Maker, also allegedly 2015.
Next we have, I'm glad I got to mention this one. This one's the best to me. Xenoblade Chronicles X coming out in just 2015. I got these dates off of Nintendo's official website. So, I mean, they just said 2015. So, 2015.
Yeah, well, you may say Xenoblade Chronicles X is the best, but I'm here with Mario Party 10, also coming out in 2015.
Oh, definitely the best. Best of the bunch.
Yeah, and also we have a variety of indie games as well.
Yes. So let's stop on the indie games. item on the list really quick. Is there any like indie games that are upcoming that you guys are looking forward to, particular amount? Because I feel like we don't play indie games as much as we should here on Infendo Radio.
Well, I know I certainly don't.
So any, nothing comes to mind then?
Well,
not for me, no.
Well, if I have to say it, there is a Twisted Fusion coming out in next year.
Oh, of course.
for the Wii U yes. In America. And
get the plug-in.
Well, of course.
Oh, and there's one game that's kind of missing on here, too. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker for the Europeans. And I'm really sorry for all of the European listeners that we have, because I didn't get Captain Toad Treasure Tracker yet. I figured it's a good one to put on my Christmas wish list for someone else to buy for me. So, not that I want you guys to buy it. That sounded like I wanted you guys to buy it for me. No. But that's kind of a 2015 release for Europe. So, yeah. there's always that one.
And I believe you can gift eShop games in America now.
Yes. You just have to get the code, I think. I think you can like buy most of these games online. Most first-party Nintendo games that you could get at retail, you can get a download code for them online and give that to anybody you want, really. So.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't meant to be a nudge to anyone either. Jeez, games are expensive. Don't bother. I'll get it somehow, someday, because I really do like the looks of Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, and I want it so badly. I need to control myself, so yeah. But as far as indie games go, so we have Twisted Fusion coming, Lewis's yep. game. Definitely one that I'm really looking forward to, so. And Colin had better be looking
sure.
forward to it.
The threat.
It's a mandatory requirement of the show.
It is really fun. I mean, obviously I've been playing the demo a little bit, and so I do have at least somewhat of an idea of how fun it is, so.
Yeah.
I need to like catch up on those demos though, and I'll get back to you on that, Lewis. Because I've been so busy, but busyness is about to end for the most part.
No problem.
So. Well, so that's good.
There's some exciting things about to be opened up, including the towers for the game, which is essentially where you know the meat of the game is, like the equivalent of the dungeons to a Zelda game. So, that should be fun to go through.
Yes, I'm excited. Maybe this will be the, Christmas break is coming up, and I'll have one of my part-time jobs still going, but my other part-time job is at a college, and they're out pretty much this week. This is finals week, that is, and so I will suddenly have a lot of free time starting this week, basically, and maybe I'll actually, it depends on you, though, Lewis. I want to know which version of the game you'd rather I do like a preview on, because we kind of plan on doing that, so.
Yeah.
I will post a preview on the site, hopefully soon.
Brilliant.
I'm excited. So, other indie games. There's one that, I think it's a rhythm game. I kind of forget what it's called, though. I think it's called Beat Boy, that I'm sort of looking forward to. So, you know, rhythm games are kind of my thing. So that's one to keep your eyes on, and you can always look up trailers for these games as well. For our listeners,
I can say one of the indie games I'm looking forward to next year is Army Krog, which is a Kickstarter game I backed a little while ago, and it's we have mentioned it on the show before. It's in a claymation style, and it's like a click and point adventure game. And
Wii U
is
Army
the,
what?
It's called Armor Krog, if I'm pronouncing that correct.
Yeah,
how do you spell that? I'm gonna like look up a trailer.
K R O G.
Yeah.
Wait, what's that?
ARMIKROG.
Oh,
Army Krog.
Oh, yep. Gosh. Okay. No wonder. All right.
And
so.
Yeah, Wii U is the only console that is announced for it. It originally started as a PC game, and Nintendo reached out for them to also put it on the Wii U because it has the touchscreen.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's been having quite regular updates on its Kickstarter project, and it's looking really, really good, and it should be really fun to play next year.
Cool. I don't know. I mean, why haven't I heard of this? It's
not
European
sure.
only.
No, definitely not. And yeah, it takes some uses of the Wii U gamepad as well. Like, you can, like, hold up and you can kind of move it around to see a different view on things. And just in general, the touchscreen will be really good for this type of game.
It looks kind of creepy. but I'm only like 30 seconds in. So yeah. This is definitely claymation.
Yeah, it's from the...
If anything, it's like a comedy as well.
Is it from the creator of the Earthworm Jim?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So there should be lots of funny bits to it as well.
I'm sure there will be.
As well as just generally weird bits.
Cool. And now you guys know how to spell it. listeners, that is. So look up that trailer. It actually does look pretty good. So, other indie games. There are a couple of Kickstarters that I backed as well. In fact, there's one that I backed where I get two copies of it, Hex Heroes. I think Lewis was the one who posted this on Infendo months ago when the Kickstarter was actually going. But, you know, it's been successfully funded. It's coming, it's coming to PC, but it's the only console it's coming to is the Wii U because it has a 5-player multiplayer experience that you can have where, like, 4 people. It's actually an RTS. They call it a party RTS, RTS being real-time strategy. So apparently it'll be pretty accessible. RTSs generally aren't, but...
I was going to say, party RTS just sounds like a creation from a lab or something. It sounds like trying to push two genres together that don't generally have to be together.
Yeah, it's also one I backed, and I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, I mean, it's a game which is made... for the Wii U. I mean, initially the Kickstarter was just for a Wii U game, and then they added the PC afterwards just to get some extra funds in there. But yeah, I mean, it looks absolutely perfect for it because it's got a great idea for the split screens and also for the 5-player stuff. So it's, yeah, really great to see this one coming out.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how accessible they can really make it. Yeah, and maybe if it's accessible enough, I might even get my sister to play with me. I always mention her. She's kind of like my de facto local multiplayer buddy.
Yeah, I'm also looking just to have another like really good like 5-player asymmetric game like Nintendo Land. Because it kind of looks like that's what it's going to be in that multiplayer mode.
I actually paid enough to get 2 copies of the game. I paid enough in the Kickstarter, that is, to get 2 copies of the game. One of those copies is actually going to Harrison. It's kind of my, what would you call that? There was one episode of the podcast that Harrison and I recorded together, but I was recording to the wrong microphone, so the entire episode was completely useless.
Oh, no.
I was like, I totally owe you. I just did a solo episode the next day to make up for it, but I wanted to make it up to Harrison as well, and so I'm giving him one of my download codes for Hex Heroes, and we'll see how that game is. All of us. Colin, you better plan on getting it too,
I will.
I do have another Wii U indie game to add to our list, which is Red Goddess.
Ah, yes. And, that was one that like your Twisted Fusion characters are going to be in there as playable characters, or is it the other way around? Like Red Goddess is going to be in Twisted Fusion.
It's both ways.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So Divine, the main character of Red Goddess, will be a playable character in Twisted Fusion, and Korra will be a playable character in Red Goddess. But even without that aspect, the game looks really awesome. It's like this 3D, or 2.5D platformer, really gorgeous graphics, and you can kind of split your character between these like different personas. I've not played a demo or anything, but from like screenshots and video footage, like there's a version, like a fire version of the character and like an ice version of the character, and you swap between both for like combat bits and also to traverse the environment. And it looks like a really, really clever design game. And also, again, it looks really amazing. It's got a really nice graphical style to it.
So that's grand.
It's definitely worth checking out.
It's a good one for Korra to be able to join.
Yeah,
They
had their similarities. They're both kind of these like Metroidvania-esque open platformers, starring like this female with reddish hair. so they were quite similar on paper. Enough for me to extend a hand
pursue the collaboration. Speaking of, I'm also very excited. And I when is Block Drop Cross Twisted Fusion coming out?
Oh, it comes out this month in America.
Okay. I believe. So that's technically not 2015.
No, it's not. However, it will be over here in Europe. Unfortunately, RC Maniac likes to do his staggered releases. And there is method to it. But yeah, basically, if you get the game tested for the one region first, and then you can be confirmed that that's approved, then you start the approval process for the next one. The reason that's, in theory, a smoother process for an indie developer is if something was to go wrong, you don't then have to kind of resubmit to the different regions and so on. You know the previous process has gone through correctly. And yeah. So, yeah, it comes out in December in America, and it'll be quarter one in Europe.
Okay, so I'm excited to play that one. I guess it's coming soon. So, Block Drop Cross Twisted Fusion. So there's that one as well. But moving on from indie games, let's talk a little bit about these other games here. So Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, February 2015. I think that's going to hold true. No delays there. That's my
I think that's a safe one.
Yeah. Nintendo has to have something in those, you know, initial months. So
yeah, this was like the Tropical Freeze slot last year, wasn't it? Or this year, I should say.
Yeah, yes. That's right, yeah.
So... I don't think there'll be any problems with Kirby coming out on time. Should be a good game. I'm hoping it's not going to be, like, really short, because I've got suspicion it may be.
Yeah.
Just to think of enough interesting uses for that drawing mechanic to, you know, last for a long... Or like a, you know, a standard size game.
That's my main concern. I think that one mechanic, it may become tiresome, like towards the end of a, you know, I've been playing this game for, you know, 10 hours or so. I want to do something else for Kirby, but...
Colin, are you the one who has never played a Kirby game before?
I've never played a Kirby game, no.
Okay, that was you. I don't think this is the one that you should start on, but I know that the Kirby game that came out on 3DS, I'm pretty sure that one got great reviews, so...
Yeah, he did. I haven't actually played it yet.
Well, yeah, me neither, still... but you could consider starting on that one. It would probably be, a pretty smart idea.
I've got a better suggestion. Actually, if you don't mind paying for it, that probably is the best starting point. I've heard lots of great things about it. But if you want to be
traditional Kirby.
A bit tighter on the purse strings, you can head to the Virtual Console, of course. You've got great access to a lot of great Kirby games there. You can't go wrong with a Kirby Superstar or Kirby's Fun Pack, as it's called over here.
I was like, Fun Pack? What?
Yep.
So same thing, but different name.
The thing about Kirby is it's a character that's never really appealed to me at all. It's just, I've always found
sense.
A little bit too cutesy for me.
Yeah, but using enemies' abilities, that can be genuinely fun, like trying out all the different ones, seeing which enemies actually, you know, like have abilities that you can use. So Kirby's pretty good.
Yeah.
But we'll see about Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. That's not a day one for me yet either.
I wanted to give a quick mention is you said Kirby's a bit too cutesy. The reason why I'd recommend Superstar is because it does have its cutesy bits of Kirby. it's one of the few Kirby games which have these kind of mock serious games as well. It's where the halberd comes from. And the giant like airship that Meta Knight has in the Smash games, that's introduced in one of the games in Superstar, and that game in particular has this kind of more moody mood to it. And you hear, like, almost in RPG-esque fashion, the enemy characters are talking to each other and the text kind of goes to the bottom of your screen. And they're all kind of planning how to get rid of Kirby, and Kirby's basically having to destroy the halberd from one section to another, and it blows up at one piece at a time. There's some really cool parts in that game.
Sounds intriguing. Yep.
It's considered one of the best Kirby games, so...
Maybe I'll pick that up.
Can't go wrong with it, really. Sometimes they put it... Well, actually, you guys might not have this. Digital games on Club Nintendo that you can get.
No, we don't get that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually how I got that game. In fact, it was Club Nintendo, so at least they did something, right? But moving on, we have The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D coming out in spring 2015. Yep. I think that's going to hold true.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's been in development for 3 years now.
Supposedly.
Nintendo.
Opposed to the 2 years the original took, so I'm pretty sure that's going to come out in 2015.
Yeah.
In spring.
Also coming out in spring, supposedly, is Codename Steam. What do we think about this one?
I'm interested for Steam.
Yeah, I thought it was only announced, and I thought it was kind of almost in a rough... It was a little rough around the edges around E3, or at least it looked like that to me.
Well, yeah,
E3 last
thing.
Year when it was announced, so I'm
really,
kind of surprised about this.
They didn't really have a proper trailer for it at the time. They just showed some journalists like an hour's footage of it and got a Q&A session. So they're handling the release of this game quite differently to their normal stuff. And I guess partly it's because it's this brand new IP. It's not really based on anything they've done before. But I'm very intrigued with it. It seems to be based off a series that I really like, Valkyria Chronicles.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, to be fair, anything from Intelligent Systems I'm interested in anyway. And this looks like a really cool game. And they recently announced that it will have competitive multiplayer modes to it, both local and online. And, hey, I mean, that's got a great opportunity there. I mean, even if the single player is not great, if they nail down the mechanics for the combat, this could be an awesome strategy game for multiplayer.
Yep. Let's just hope it comes out in spring 2015.
Yeah, that's I'm very excited for it. Like I say, you know, Intelligent Systems, they usually make really good games, so I've got my high hopes for this one.
All right. Kind of moving on, though, to some of the games that are, according to Nintendo, are coming out just in 2015. Nintendo of America's official website just says 2015 for all of these. I'm just going to list them. Yoshi's Woolly World, Mario Maker, Xenoblade Chronicles X, and Mario Party 10. Do we have any doubts about any of these?
Xenoblade Chronicles X, I think, will definitely come out 2015.
Ooh, you do?
Mainly because the director recently tweeted out that the game was 95% done.
Wow.
So,
what about like all the localization? There's got
to be a
massive amount
of that. I don't believe percentages in game development.
So, well, but yeah, I think, yeah, I definitely think 2015, but I think it'd be quite late, 2015.
Yeah,
I hope that's
I
not the case, but you know,
if it's late, I know we're not meant to mention it yet, but it's going to be going toe to toe with Zelda, which may be peculiar.
That is true.
Both these huge kind of titans of games potentially coming out in like November next year.
Well, it's perfect because that's when you get all your little, you know, breaks, Christmas breaks.
Sure.
Well, for me anyway, for my tutoring job. Time. I love having time.
Mario Maker, I hope it's quite early in the second half. If it is going to sit in the second half of next year.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's not going to be part of the holiday games.
Here's a question about Mario Maker. Is it going to be like a full retail release?
That's what it sounds like. But they did reveal some more information about it a couple of days ago with the Zelda stuff, which is you can now skin it in Mario Bros. 3 and Mario World in addition to Mario Bros. And New Mario Bros.
Is it all still going to have the physics of the original Super Mario Bros. Though?
That's
isn't
the
that
thing.
What they said before?
They've not technically said it, but during the footage they showed a bit which was in new Super Mario Bros. Graphics, and there was wall jumping.
Ah,
so there might be unique physics, or there might just be some weird big mishmash physics which tries to do all of them.
That would be cool. So
it
yeah,
it
does sound
it might
like
just be they've added
up.
Wall jumping in general, but it might be unique physics for each.
Okay, it just, I don't know, when I saw it at E3, I thought, it looks like one of those games that Nintendo's just going to put on the eShop for $15, but
yeah.
I guess I was wrong about that, but we'll see.
Oh yeah, there's a lot more to it now, there's a lot more objects. Pretty much any weird little thing you've seen in the Mario game before, it looks like you're going to be able to make it, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, for me, it's, I don't mind games where you can design your own stuff, but I want like the Miyamotos of the world to design levels. Because you know what I mean? They know exactly what they're doing.
So you're not looking forward to designing, you're just looking forward to playing other people's designs?
Pretty much. I mean, my creativity is non-existent. So,
I don't think you should underestimate, like, just kind of the general user's creativity. Like, you head over to Miiverse, and, like, indeed, on the Art Academy channel, and you see, like, the sort of things people being able to create on the little stylus, and, like, these great pieces of artwork. I know people with Mario Maker are going to make these absolutely amazing levels, and I think it could be great value for money when it comes out. I mean, if they put in the function of downloading and playing levels, make that really smooth, you could be playing like huge amounts of Mario content, like games and games worth of great stuff in the future. So this has got huge room for potential here.
Yep, I agree. That's kind of the reason that I want it as well. How about Mario Party 10? I think that's definitely still in 2015. The game actually looked pretty darn far along, I guess.
I think Colin played it, but I played it in the post E3 event.
That's right. Yeah, I played it.
One of the new modes is like this five-player asymmetric multiplayer, and the fifth player being Bowser, and he gets to mess around and cause havoc amongst the four people who are trying to complete the mini games. Beyond that, though, it looked and felt pretty much like Mario Party. I didn't play the ninth one, which was meant to shake things up somewhat.
You don't want to play the ninth one. I played all the Mario Party games. Mario Party 9, I just don't like the fact that you're all going around the board together. Yeah. It just removes any sense of competitive play. It just seems like, everything's completely random.
Feel like, what's the point of having a board at that
exactly.
point? You might as well just jump from minigame to minigame and have stats of some sort. But yeah, I'm hoping they do something cool with Amiibo. We know they're going to do that for Mario Party. And it's it's a game with lots of Nintendo characters. So again, there's potential there. Will they do something
cool
with it?
They're not going to put Samus in there.
It has a lot of Nintendo characters, but they're all from within the Mario universe.
True.
I think it's going to stay that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think what it was on the last show I was saying, but they have no unique attributes whatsoever in Mario Party. So I don't think it would be much work for them to put all the models of all the Amiibo characters in there.
To have them fully animated too. I think that'd take quite a bit of work.
No, they won't have to have any animation. It's just like the model and the skeleton essentially they need. Because all the characters in Mario Party, is from my understanding, all have the same animations.
Yeah. Jumping up and hitting the guys.
They might have
a
different victory animation, but that's it.
The victory poses are different, but
they all walk in the same way, they all jump in the same way, they all butt stomp in the same way. And that's it.
That's a good point. But I'm still doubtful. So how about Splatoon? Okay, one thing I have to ask, I don't understand the quarter system. I'm not going to lie. So Splatoon supposedly is coming out in quarter 2, 2015. What does that even mean? Lewis?
That's right. So it's basically, you split up the year into the four quarters.
Yeah.
So first quarter is January, February, and March.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every 3 months.
So it's as simple as that.
It's a quarter.
Every 3 months, yeah.
I thought the quarters were split up all weird-like, like maybe... I don't know what I was thinking.
I guess sometimes they might do the fiscal year.
yeah, that's probably what I was thinking.
And that's what starts, at the end of March.
It's all over the place.
Okay. So when you're talking about game releases, though, quarter two would be what, April and the next 2 months?
Yep.
April, May, June?
That's right.
Okay, so that makes sense to me now. Wow, that feels pretty soon for Splatoon. But let's hope...
Well,
let's hope for the best there, too.
I'm not sure if it's changed or Europe has a different date, but I'm pretty sure ours is just, first half. I mean, it still overlaps to quarter two, but I'm pretty sure our official waiting time is, the first half of 2015. Some point in there it drops. But I imagine it will be the later half of that half.
Okay. Well, that works for me. I feel like somehow that's kind of doubtful, though.
It would be a good summer game, I feel, Splatoon.
Yeah.
Huh?
I think it would be good if Splatoon launches in the summer. It seems like a very sunny, bright game.
Yeah.
That's true.
If they get it for the kids' summer holidays, I think that would be a good time to have some sort of marketing campaign around it.
Mm. Yeah, not a bad idea. So.
Especially with all the water soakers and such.
Oh, that's true, isn't it? Perfect. That would be pretty smart on Nintendo's part. So, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good prediction to me. So, as far as other predictions go, do we have any other predictions for 2015? Like other general ones, like maybe game announcements and stuff?
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, mine's Pokemon for Wii U. Some kind of Wii U.
Really?
Pokemon game.
Well, no, I think it's going to happen. I know I've said this before. However, today... they announced on Miiverse the closing of the Animal Crossing Plaza at the end of the year.
Forgotten.
Exactly. They had some little details about it, and they...
I didn't use that. Exactly. I haven't used it for several months.
I don't think anyone really did. But they did at the end say that there will be Animal Crossing announcements next year. It might just be a really general thing about like the community or something, but maybe it's something about a new Animal Crossing release. I think there's a few hints out there, and I think they can sneak one in. I'm not sure where in the year they would do though, because it's getting quite busy. So maybe it's just revealed next year and comes out some other time.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. So, Colin, any other general predictions? Possible game releases?
See, I know people are yearning for the next big Mario game. I think
already? What?
Yeah. I heard that. Yeah, Galaxy 3. Galaxy 3 is in development. Well, I don't think it is, but it might be. But I'm pretty sure
3DS,
we were here.
Yeah. Maybe the new 3DS.
Well, I think it's confirmed that the there is a Mario game in development.
In development, yes.
And Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker wasn't handled by the 3D World team.
That's right. So, what could it be? I'm sure we'll find out E3.
Okay.
This is true. Wii U or 3DS then, for that?
I think they said, they mentioned at some point it was the 3DS.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was specifically mentioned at one point, but I don't have any fact or source to back me up there, so take it with a grain of salt.
It would make sense for the 3DS, because the last Mario game 3DS was 3D Land, and that came out in, was it 2011?
Possibly. Yeah, was the 3DS's release year, so.
Yeah, I mean, so it had this, it's been a few years, so.
Yeah, it's true.
Unless you count New Super Mario Bros. 2. Which, as I've said before, I actually really like that game. The Street Pass is awesome. But
I never enjoyed any of the new games. Anything new in
the U version. Oh, actually, you've probably not played that one, have you?
I've not played that. But then again, I'm not the biggest Mario fan. And that's where the problem lies. Yeah, you know, I don't play a lot of platform games as it is. But yeah, so I if a Mario game doesn't come in next year, is at least announced next year, I'll be quite surprised. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a pretty safe prediction to me, so. And kind of like Lewis, I mean, Lewis has been predicting like the announcement of Animal Crossing for Wii U for a long time.
We keep saying the same thing. It's eventually going to happen. Like, I know it all along.
Exactly. I'm the same way with like a Pokemon game for Wii U. I feel like, Nintendo, if you want to sell Wii U's, put a good Pokemon game on the Wii U.
So this is like a proper Pokemon game, like a full RPG.
I don't think so. I don't think, maybe it's too big a project or something like that, but I feel like Nintendo just is not going to listen to the fans' desires on that front, and they're just going to keep the mainstream ones on handheld systems. But I sure wouldn't mind something along the lines of Pokemon Coliseum and XD on the GameCube, which some people didn't like those games, but I did. They're adventure games. They're kind of slimmed down Pokemon adventure games, but I thought they were fun and unique. And
yeah,
I sure wouldn't mind that.
I reckon we'll see a new Pokemon game which has amiibo support for both 3DS and Wii U. No idea what it will be, but I reckon that will be one of the games which uses the cross against both, you know, when with the new 3DS and the Wii U, and swapping the amiibos back and forth.
Yeah, I was going to ask about what do you think Retro Studios' next project will be?
Oh dear, this question.
Yeah.
So is it Metroid or is it other? That's the question.
I think it'd be Metroid, but I think it'd be a 2D Metroid game.
Yeah, well, I reckon it probably is Metroid. I think they got enough flack, deservedly or not. That's up for a question. Probably not, because Donkey Kong Country Return, no, the Tropical Freeze is a really fine game, really good game. But yeah, I reckon that they're working on a Metroid now.
Yeah. I think the time's right for Metroid to come back.
Yeah, I was about to say it's kind of long overdue. Some kind of an announcement or anything to do with Metroid. So, but let's move on now to our big thing for this episode. Legend of Zelda for Wii U, mostly because we have this beautiful new like gameplay demo, basically, that Miyamoto and Onuma took us through. Oh my gosh, I'm speechless, so, you know, let's just end the show there. No, I'm kidding. We also have a little bit of a Star Fox tease that came out of that video. So it's funny that Miyamoto and Aonuma are just, like, you know, sitting there. Aonuma's playing Zelda, and Miyamoto's just talking about it with him. And suddenly they kind of just talk about, like, oh, Miyamoto. Like, Aonuma's all like, Miyamoto, what about your game, Star Fox?
Yeah.
What's going on with that? So in this gameplay video, we'll talk about Star Fox first. So in this gameplay video, Miyamoto did tease that Star Fox for Wii U will be coming out before Zelda for Wii U.
That's kind of amazing. Don't you think?
And also
crazy?
An interesting distinction. He's not just confirming it for the year, but it's coming out before Zelda.
Yeah. that's what baffles me, because it's Star Fox was announced this year at the end of the E3 show.
And we don't even have any footage or anything for it.
Nothing.
We just had that blurry thing.
And they were up front saying that they're looking for a developer to make it at the time.
That too.
I'm guessing they found one.
I hope so.
And the game's development is well underway, apparently.
But to turn it around in, you know, a year, somewhat, I mean, it's amazing, one thing, but it's slightly worrying, too, because it makes you think there's not going to be a lot of... Is there going to be a huge amount of depth to this Star Fox game, or is it just going to be a quick, you know, put it on disc and chuck it out there and see what happens? That's the worry. Don't you find that's worrying?
I do a little bit, but at the same time, I think maybe it's not actually going to happen that way. Like, Miyamoto did say, like, oh, Star Fox is coming out before Zelda, but maybe he wasn't being super serious there.
Maybe it's purely because they're going to delay Zelda later.
It all depends on how well translated it was, but yeah.
I don't think he was, you know, just like outright messing with us by saying that Star Fox was coming out early, but maybe how would he know anyway? So things get delayed, you know.
So yeah, they sounded pretty confident, especially to like sit in the way they did in that video.
That is true.
It does make you think that both of these games are definitely coming out next year.
Oh my gosh.
And they know we're worried about it, and that's why they've said it in that way.
Yeah.
So it does make me think that both of these are going to be late in the year. And maybe Star Fox just comes out like the month before Zelda does, or a couple
or
months.
Or even a week.
Exactly. I don't think we're going to see Star Fox come out mid-year or any time before that. Definitely not Zelda either. So yeah, I think they will both be at the end of the year. And
I'm gonna take a stab at Star Fox comes out in October, and Zelda comes out in November.
I think Zelda's going to be pushed all the way to December.
That's usually the Zelda month. So
I think they're going to be so squeezed to get that game finished. They've committed to this year, but they're going to stick as long as they can on the development.
Right. Well, I agree with Colin, though. I think Zelda's out in November. They always release it in November. And, you know, Super Smash Bros. Was a little bit iffy there for a minute, but they still released it in the United States in November, so...
That's true.
This is a time to release big Nintendo games, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, depending on obviously who makes Star Fox and what sort of direction they go with it, it could be like this fantastic looking game. Because like these Star Fox stages in Smash for Wii U, they look incredible.
Absolutely.
If they focus on like that sort of detail and like just space exploration or action, there's a lot you can do with the HD graphics.
Well, that was the original purpose of the original Star Fox. It was what Super Nintendo could do. It was like, we can do 3D. Fantastic. Mm. So, I mean, it'd be a good opportunity just for them to show that, okay, we're going to kick the Wii U up the backside, and this is what happens, you know. Look at it, it's amazing.
You'd just expect it to take a little more time.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the worry.
So it might come out in like a more stylized graphic set where it's very colourful and such, and it doesn't focus on the details, but it is very fast, and it gets the job done, and it's... like performance over detail sort of system.
Yeah, I just hope it's not a quick, very quickly made, quick release. That's not going to do the Star Fox series any favours, because it's already had a patchy history at the moment.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily expect that from Nintendo. But then again, I guess it also depends who is developing it, because...
That's the question.
They did make it sound like it wasn't going to be done in-house. Whereas, why would you be looking for which team to do?
Man, E3 next year is going to be so good. I've just been sitting here imagining everything that they'll have to show at E3. It's going to be incredible. And so let's talk about Zelda for Wii U, the footage that we saw.
Oh, you want to go first?
We've got the sailcloth.
The horse. Let's start with the horse. Oh, it, yeah. Yeah, in addition to not running into trees like, you know, most horses wouldn't. I love the stuff on the internet. Like, I saw the YouTube comments under the YouTube video for this. You know, they said things like, what the exact quote kind of escapes me, but Miyamoto says something like, or Aonuma actually says something like, real horses don't run into trees. So your horse will automatically at least not run into trees. And everyone was just like, oh my gosh. For once, someone designs a horse that won't run into trees or things in general. Yeah. Everyone is like, everyone's mind has been blown over this.
I mean,
but the horse actually behaves extremely realistically too. I loved the
we had like a soft confirmation that it's a Epona.
Yeah,
yes.
They didn't technically say it was, but amongst the discussion, was it Shigeru who said, "Oh, Epona"?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Well, Aonuma was talking about how, well, we can't get to that point that we're trying to get to on foot very quickly. And so we need a horse. So they're walking around and he's all like, okay, here's a horse. He just says a horse. And then Miyamoto chimes in and is all like, oh, good old Epona.
That's right. I would say that the most disappointing thing about this gameplay video they showed was it kept cutting. You get the white flashes. And I wish it was one continuous.
I guess they didn't want to release like a quarter an hour, 20-minute video during the Game Awards.
But
I almost wish they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget the Game Awards at all.
Just I didn't see that show, but I think I might have to search it out for next year. Because this was the first Game Awards show, wasn't it? By Jeff Keighley.
It used to be called the VGX Awards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely good support by Nintendo out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, anything else we want to mention about the gameplay? Uh-huh. There's only one. Actually, the one thing that I didn't like about it is the environments were absolutely gorgeous. The sunset that you could see at the beginning was gorgeous.
Yeah.
The world looked, incredibly vast, but it just seemed a little bit. And I guess maybe this is a Zelda thing in general, especially in past Zelda games. The world seemed a little bit barren to me. Like, I expected it to be a little bit more populated, but that might actually change by the time the game is released. There was one place where they got to where there's a bit of a landmark and there were some enemies around, but other than that, it was just kind of like, going through the woods.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's like an open world game, you want stuff to happen while you're on the road, traveling to places. And if it's just empty, which I don't think it will be, I think it will be full of, people to talk to, creatures and things, but it has to be populated.
I think there's a tricky balance you have to play with when you make a really vast open world game.
Yeah.
Because you do want the player to have this like feeling of actually exploring, and they showed like the map and so on, and like, oh, you can go over here and it's going to take so much time to get there.
Yeah.
So you can't have all these intricate things like if you stop just all around you, but you want it so you can kind of that you spot interesting things along your journey and think, oh, if I went this route, maybe I wouldn't have had this event. So I think that's a tricky balance to do. And Zelda games previously haven't had the most like interactive, like open environments, especially the 3D ones, like Hyrule Field. A huge amount to do there. There are points of interest, but in between them.
Well, I think Wind Waker's probably worse for that. Let's say it does take a while.
So I think it's going to be on their minds, and I think they're probably more than ever to do, but I reckon there will also be quite big, vast of areas where there won't be a huge amount to do beyond kind of travel through it and just see the scenery.
I was also slightly disappointed that they showed you the tower in the distance. He's like, oh, let's go and look at that tower, and you never reach it. I was like, oh, well, it's the tower.
Yeah.
So it's like...
I like the concept though. That sounded really cool. Like this, like real natural exploration in Zelda.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced yet. That's will be how the game plays. Like you're looking around and like you see evidence of a dungeon ahead, and then you go in that direction, and you could have gone somewhere completely different.
That's right.
I reckon it may be a little bit more linear, but if it truly is that, that's going to be fantastic. Just like coming out, hunting out these places around the world.
Very impressive, if it is.
One thing I really did like, and they saved it to last, was basically what they showed off in the original trailer, which was Link jumping from the horse.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling out his bow, aiming at an enemy and firing it. all landing on the ground. And
that's cool.
They surprised me because I didn't think you would be able to do that in the game.
No.
But they showed that you could. And so I'm very impressed by Nintendo. So yeah, when you jump off the horse in a combat scenario, it goes into essentially bullet time in action.
Bullet time,
so it's
arrow
goes
time,
into slow motion. And then it seems you can use the gamepad to aim, and you can probably aim with these stick as well, with the HD remake of Wind Waker's got any indication. And then, yeah, so you can slowly aim, and then when you're ready, you can fire off your arrow, and then it returns back into normal speed. And it just looks like it's really accurate and really fast to do. And it also just looks damn impressive.
Well, one thing I did notice about the gameplay is, if you watch Link's HUD, it's on and then off at certain different times. So the bit where he's running through the forest, the HUD's up. He's wearing it. But when they get to the enemy-infested area, it's down again. So I'm like, can you choose to have it up, or... It would be really great if you guys like customize Link a little bit.
Maybe Link's like on the run. Maybe he's wanted. No, I'm being serious here.
That
maybe
would be an
him
interesting
him as a character, kind of like Link to the Past. Although you touched on it briefly in that game, like the guards are after him specifically.
That's right.
And so you don't want to draw too much attention. And it maybe even have like an Assassin's Creed S vibe where you do have to hide.
In
the crowds, as it were, in town and so on. But that's it is an interesting insight. I didn't notice about the HUD being on and off during those clips.
I was thinking, story-wise, if this is going to be a really massive Zelda game that you're supposed to like spend tons of time exploring, story-wise, it could take place sometime after Skyward Sword, when the time comes to like explore the land below and try to...
Yeah, but I mean, the Zelda timeline is... You'll make your mind explode trying to work it out. So it's,
which is why that's just, you know, one thing that I kind of thought of.
That would be my guess as well, Holly. Yeah, I think it will be the next game after Skyward Sword.
But is it the same Link, though? Ooh, is it a direct sequel with the same Link?
I don't think it could be. So I reckon it has to,
you never know.
I reckon there has to be a decent enough time for that world to have changed enough and to have like the different... regions or people to actually can't think of the word now, but to inhabit it and make the different towns and so on. Because there wasn't really anything in the world below in Skyward Sword, unless my mind's kind of warped.
That well makes sense to me, but yeah, that's me and Lewis's prediction for the story.
I just hope the story's good. That's my main concern. Because if it boils down to you do three dungeons, then you do seven.
Oh, well, that's a different matter.
Ganon. But it's that structure, and that's always the same.
I think that's separate to the story, because I think Skyward Sword had probably one of the better stories in a Zelda game, but the structure was completely out of whack. Like how the Pokemon games have like, the same structure. But technically, they do have different stories.
True, yeah, but it's
not
very
much. Yeah.
The storyline in Pokemon games you can easily forget about and still finish the game. Yeah, I mean, I hope the plot line is it's somewhat interesting.
Yeah, but I guess
I love Zelda plot lines, even like the just basic ones. They just, I don't know, they're simple.
I wasn't too keen on the Phantom Hourglass's plot. That's
which I don't even remember that one.
That's the first DS game. That was terrible.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember the storyline at all.
I guess
a ghost ship or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Link Between World one was surprisingly good for the
it was actually quite
the 2D above camera view.
Wait, which game?
Oh, the 3DS game.
Oh, of course, yeah. I like the storyline in that one, all right.
I think for as the 3D games go, the storytelling has gotten better and better between each game.
Yeah.
A lot of like the gameplay or like the structure stuff. You could argue that certain games do handle it better, but. Yeah, I think they kind of learn their lessons on the storytelling for these games. And so I'm very excited to see what they do for this game. And being an open world game, they can do it in a lot of, you know, different ways. I mean, maybe they will try to do a non-linear story, which would be very interesting.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yep. Speculation. I think on that note, though, we have come to the conclusion of our episode 336 of Infendo Radio. So thank you all to our listeners for listening to the end. We really appreciate your just listening, in fact, but we also appreciate any feedback or comments or questions that you can give us. You can send those to us in an email at contact@infendo.com, or you can always put them in a comment if you're in your web browser, a comment below the post, that is. But with that, we have come to the close of our show. Thank you again for listening. This has been Infendo Radio. We'll see you later, guys.
Catch you next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
Woo!
Wow. In stereo.
Very good.
I guess it was stereo for Colin.
It was me. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Get a score of more than 25 in one match of Rival Smash. What's Rival Smash? Dark Pit. What is Rival Smash? Games and more. Is it 25? Okay, there is another Dark Pit. Alright, okay, this makes sense. Just smashing up Miis. We have 4 down, 5 down, 6, 7, 8, 9.